Tonight, I'm shifting gears here. I wanted to share about something. Actually, Bob and I were talking about this earlier today, and you know, it's just such a great topic, and it's about the gift of grace. And I remember years ago, believe it or not, Ken Fonda shared this. He said there was an acronym for grace. It was God's riches at Christ's expense. And I've always remembered that. You know, there's so many verses and so many things that we've learned through the years about God's goodness and God's grace. And, you know, there's just so much to be thankful for, really, during these times that we live in, because, you know, maybe the consequence for doing certain things in other administrations was much more severe. One of the most infamous verses I think that we've had exposure to is that one in Ephesians where it talks about that by grace you are saved. Mm-hmm. Verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this wasn't from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest so that no one can boast about it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so, you know what? Sometimes even people, whether they realize it or not, have been either the recipient or the giver of grace. And every adult on this planet, one way or another, has probably experienced it. Here's a great example. Just think if your child acts up and they truly do deserve to be punished, but you turn around and out of your love for them, you hug them. You give them reinforcement of the good. Or let's say you treat your spouse badly or vice versa, but then the response is, "I love you," and not a negative response. Or maybe, you know, things that we do in our everyday life, sometimes we think, well, you know, maybe this isn't the most pleasing thing to God. Maybe this isn't the best thing for me to be doing. And then, you know, we read those verses in Lamentations 3 where it says, "God's mercies are new every morning." You know, we've learn to understand and come to understand mercy as being God's withholding of merited judgment. And it's that, in some respects, we deserve it. Just because of the nature of Adam that we received just as a result of being a human being. We didn't really necessarily do anything to it, but we did inherit it because of the things and decisions and choices like that Adam and Eve made way back then. But you know, maybe in the realization of that time when God extends his grace to us, you know, maybe our response would be one of, I don't know, greater appreciation and greater understanding. You know, the prodigal son or the forgiving father is a great example. And what do you think that son's heart did when he experienced his father coming out to him, running towards him, wrapping him tightly, bringing him in, telling the servants, bring the great clothes, bring the ring, do all these things? You know what? The kid had been out living like the devil, let's say. He'd just been living hog wild. He wanted his inheritance. He got it, and he went out, and he lived probably not in the best way. And here's something to remember tonight, that grace is receiving a present we know we don't deserve. We never thought we would receive, and we never saw it coming. Isn't that interesting? It's receiving something that we literally do not deserve, and we never thought we would receive it, and we never saw it coming. And so that's why I think we can understand that grace is a gift. The love of God is shown in his grace to people who deserve absolutely nothing. And that's the beauty of it, is there's nothing we could do or have done that would force God's hand to give us something. And how many times you think now there's opportunities for us to then extend that grace in a horizontal way, in the recognition of that grace that we've received. See? Someone else once said, grace is the love that gives, that loves the unlovely, and the unlovable. When we understand really, truly what grace has enabled us and given us the rights and privileges of as a child of God, then, you know, I think the natural desire is to want to give it away, is to want to share that same extension of the unconditional love of God with no requirements on the recipient's behalf. I mean, that's something we can just all, you know, take in, relax, enjoy. You know, Paul's exhortation to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in what? The grace that is in Christ. You know, Christians as a whole, overall, down through history, you know, have not been the most agreeable bunch. A lot of times, you know, opinions of various things, doctrines, even practices within the church or other various things that have gone on have caused people to, let's say, not be gracious to each other. It's caused people to split, and it's caused division. But that was never really God's intent in the beginning. God, I think, really wants us to enjoy the benefits of being a son or a daughter of God, understanding what Christ has accomplished for us on our behalf, and then being able to really, once we understand that identity, to then be able to move forward in helping others in whatever way, in whatever situation, come to a greater understanding of that. One of the greatest records about grace is in Romans chapter 5, I believe. I'd like to read a couple of verses there with you. But man, grace is a gift. And one of the cool things about this particular gift is that it keeps on giving. And we get the opportunity to just keep giving it away. So we should never take for granted that, you know, we've been the recipient and now, you know, we're the only ones who get to enjoy. God's given us grace to empower us to a more worthy endeavor in overcoming all these other obstacles that are in our way. I remember when Ken Petty said, grace is the thing that really empowers the believer to walk in the power of the Spirit. Sin has been bankrupt. And there are some cool verses in Romans chapter 5 that I thought it'd be fun to look at just real quick here. Romans 5:20 says, the law, this is the NIV, the law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what should we say then? Shall we go on walking according to the old nature that sin may increase? And then it's kind of a rhetorical question. It says, no. You know, we have been raised by God into this realm now where we can be empowered by the things that we have been so freely given. So I think it's just good to be reminded of that. Wonderful verses that you, many of you, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys, it's not like this is the first time you've ever heard of this topic. But, you know, just to take a deep breath, sit back, and remember. Grace is like receiving something we really don't deserve. I mean, how could we have worked hard enough, been good enough, or whatever, to receive God's love and goodness and the blessing of God in our lives. We just would have fallen on our rear ends. So we don't deserve it. We never thought we would receive it, and we never saw it coming. So it's got to be something that God initiated. He's the prime mover. He's the one who reached out, and then we responded. And that's what we can continue to do on a daily basis, is respond. And that happens as a result of seeing God at work. We pray. We see things happen. It builds a greater desire to want to continue to walk in the gift of grace, the benefit of grace, and then expand our relationship with God to even a greater point, a greater level. And that's what I'm excited about having Wally share next week on Thursday, because he's got a wonderful testimony of something that God really did wonderfully on his behalf. And I see a lot of these things, and I think if we take the time in our lives, I mean, I'm sitting across from somebody who has, I believe, a miracle, or more than one, has occurred in her life in the last number of months. And I know we don't take that for granted, that God lined up these situations, the doctors, the surgeons, all the people. And then we follow that lead in spite of, you know, maybe how we feel about it in the moment. We might be a little bit uncomfortable about that in the moment. I'm supposing Moses standing in front of the Red Sea, you know, receiving revelation from God and get the confidence from God, he might have had a few uncomfortable moments, you know. And, you know, of course, we would consider that to be one of the major miracles. But, you know, we can experience miracles and the work of God and the recognition of God's goodness every day. And that's what we have to have eyes to see. And maybe that was what Paul, you know, was inspired by God to write about in Ephesians chapter 1, that his prayer would be that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, and that they would see even greater how much God is at work within them. And that's my prayer for you tonight, too, is that our, and my prayer from myself, is that our eyes would be open and that we would see to even a greater degree the goodness of God. Who God is, what he's done, the gift of grace, the empowerment of grace. It's really something. That was in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, where he says, I pray also the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That the That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is not something that we could potentially or possibly ever work hard enough to get. I think part of it is just accepting what's already been done on our behalf, thanking God for it, and then working in the environment to implement and maybe literally figure out how to manifest the power of the Spirit. And I mean, if that's the greatest, that's an honorable legacy for anybody to live and believe, you know. So that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me, that we may get to know him better, not just know the scriptures, but to know him. And that's going to take some conversation. That's going to take some vulnerability. That's going to mean we're talking turkey with God, you know, and then putting ourselves in a place to really be able to hear from God. That we, you know, it's not like a surprise. God already knows anyway. So, but we need his help. We need him to assist us in those decisions and those choices that we're making day by day by day. I've made enough of those choices without seeking God's counsel that I know it's the right thing to do to seek God's counsel. And if you've been alive for any number of years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that grace enables us to have this kind of heart that we can be enlightened, that we can know Him. And when God speaks to us, we know it's God speaking to us. We don't question it. We don't doubt it. It's just like, that's God. He's talking to me. And, well, that's the quest of all Christianity right there, is the walk by the Spirit and learning to distinguish the voice of God. Somebody called that the art of all arts, learning the fine art of walking by the Spirit of God. And these are things God wants us to know and to understand, not just, you know, that we have now great knowledge of the Scriptures. Where is that knowledge taking us? And, you know, I've kind of gone, you know, full circle on this thing, but, you know, like I started with, that grace is the empowerment for us to work and to see God's goodness and working within us with an ability that we could never do on our own. And to me, that's just so amazing. It's so beautiful, and it's just something that I'm just so very, very thankful for, and I know you are too. So I trust that I've attempted at least to communicate. Some of the things are in my heart about this particular topic, but, you know, when the rubber meets the road, it's all about our relationship with God. And so I encourage you, spend the time necessary and needful to build a relationship with God. You know, it's hard to have a relationship with somebody you never talk to, you never see, you never experience. You just, you know. And so God wants that kind of relationship with us as His kids. Okay? Well, Heavenly Father, thank You for these words of comfort, encouragement, maybe confrontation, exhortation, whatever they may be, Father, that they are things that we all need to hear. And I do pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that our hearts would be open, our hearts would be enlarged, Father, to be more encouraged and more sensitive spiritually to not only hear Your voice, but figure out what it is You want us to do and the appointments, the divine appointments You have for us, Father, that we would seek those. And that then we would have the wherewithal to follow up, to move forward according to those things that we would have, and that we would have faith to do it. And I thank You, God, for each and every person who is with us here tonight, for the beauty of their hearts. And we thank You, God, for what each and every person on this call and every person who's ever confessed Jesus as Lord in this universe has something that is really powerful and really beautiful. And I pray that they come to a greater understanding of that somehow. And I'm praying in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys are awesome.